You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Immediate Family. A child asked his father, "How were people born?" So his father said, "Adam and Eve made babies, then their babies became adults and made babies, and so on." This child then went to his mother, asked her the same question, and she told him, "We were monkeys, then we evolved to become like we are now." The child ran back to his father and said, "You lied to me." His father replied, "No, your mom was talking about her side of the family." So I want to talk to you today about family, in particular, immediate family. If you read the Bible, part of what makes it believable is it's completely jacked up. All the people that God chose to use are a mess. Some of them got better, some got better and then still screwed up. As it turns out, we're all he's got. But every once in a while, God comes along and in an extraordinary way uses families. So you say, "Well, my family's a mess." Well, welcome to the party. But is it going to end up a mess? Now, this is a little bit awkward. I don't know really why, but I'm going to share something with you. A lot of you know this. I'm the sixth generation of preachers in my family. My nephew, Harrison, is the seventh. So what in the world, even for me to think about that? I only knew my grandfather. I didn't know my great-grandfather. How did that happen? It is because God can choose someone six generations back, or someone who he has chosen responds to the choosing and chooses him back, and then extraordinary things start to happen. The dominoes start to drop. I meet people and they say, "I'm the only Christian in my family." Change that. You say, "But I don't know anything about it." Figure it out. Get someone to disciple you, help you grow. That changes who you marry. Then that changes what you do when you have children. Just because you come from a godless lineage does not mean you have to leave a godless line. You can leave a godly line. And if you look in the scripture, I'm going to go through these pretty quick as well. Noah and his family. I mean, I know God used him 100 years, build the ark, but I mean, he didn't get it all right. But use these eight people to save the world. That's Genesis chapter 6 through 9, if you're taking notes. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Genesis 12 to 22. But these stories are not without complications. So part of what I want to say in the midst of this, you say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm following Jesus, but I've screwed up. I fell down. I chose to fall down. I went down." Get up. Get up. Everybody falls down. You say, "Well, I can't get up by myself." Then reach out to somebody and say, "Help me up. I don't want to live down here. I don't want to die down here. I want to get up. I want to keep moving for Jesus." Jacob and Esau, there's a disaster. Genesis 25 to 33. Struggle from birth, twins, even fighting on the way out. There's enough stuff going on there without fighting on the way out, you would think. Leah and Rachel, two sisters, end up married to Jacob. And if you look at that mess, Jacob has 6 kids by Leah, 2 by Rachel. Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, had 2 of them. And Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, had 2 of them. This guy's running 4 women, all legit in the Old Testament. But, and to make this even more bizarre and jacked up, this bunch is the bunch that the tribes of Israel come out of. Every once in a while, you just want to look at God and go, "Have you lost your mind? That's all you could find? These brothers who were a mess, their dad was a mess, the whole thing's a mess." And on top of that, that whole mess of the brothers selling their baby brother Joseph into slavery, and then God saving the whole family because he ended up prime minister of Egypt at 30. What is this? It's only God can come up with this. Okay, it's only God, but don't say God can't use you in your family. Moses, Aaron, Miriam, all kind of challenges there, but God used them. That's all in Exodus chapter 2 to Exodus 15, Numbers 12. But let me take you specifically to Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. Now, this is one verse about how they recommended this in the Old Testament. And what I'm going to recommend to you, if you're a grandparent, if you've got little kids, or even if you're not married yet and you plan to have children, you cannot just look at these verses and go, wow, that's interesting. The only way the Bible changes your life is you see what it says and you apply what it says to your life, to your home, to your marriage, to your children. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. So I don't ever want anybody to misunderstand this. I am not against you memorizing verses that you have in your head, but he's talking about putting things in your heart. If it is just in your head and you regurgitate it out of your head, then it's just going to be knowledge. It's still his word. I get that. But when you ingest and digest his word in such a way that it becomes a part of your heart, then that becomes a part of you, your life, your marriage, your children. Next verses. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You say, well, my kids are grown. What do? You do that. You say, well, how am I going to do that? You take responsibility if you jacked your whole life up. And there's in the process, you sit them down and say, look, I take full responsibility for my actions. I was not a Christian at the time, or maybe I was a Christian at the time and I completely screwed up. And I'm doing everything in his power and my power to make different decisions and be a godly man, godly woman, and lead myself and help you make it in your life. And so when you're given opportunity and they're willing to sit with you, what do? You do this. You teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in the house. So they come to your house and you talk of these things. Ruth and Naomi, the book of Ruth, chapters 1-4, easily there. David and Solomon, 1 Kings 1 and 2. And then you get down to what is very interesting to me and kind of where some of this is coming from. You got a girl named Mary, engaged to a guy named Joseph, and they're going to have a baby named Jesus. But in the same little pocket, you got a guy named Zacharias who works in the temple, married to Elizabeth, who's barren, and the angel shows up, these two families, and this woman who was barren is now going to have a son named John, who's going to be 6 months older than Jesus. And when Mary is pregnant and goes to visit Elizabeth, she's just recently pregnant, Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant. And when Mary walks in the room, her cousin Elizabeth is reported in the scriptures that John the Baptist leaps in her womb. Hopefully not launching off of the bladder because that creates problems, but leaps in the womb. Now I've prayed about this and I'm like, okay, Lord, what is this? You could have picked anybody for the John the Baptist piece, but God uses families, okay? So before we go any further and I read you these other scriptures, you say, well, I'm the first of whatever's coming in the future. Then be the best first you can be, right? And then start looking around. And again, this is a little strange, but I share enough personal stuff, not trying to disrespect my mom and dad, but things got crazy in my house. Things happened that shouldn't have happened. But God used my father to change the whole country of Brazil in spite of all of his who knows what. And my mama. My dad was a singer, had a record contract offered to him or go to seminary. My mom was the most beautiful woman, second only to my wife, my three daughters. Who else am I going to offend? My mama was beautiful. And now I look back and I think, how in the world is my dad married to my mama? There must have been so many men. Like, she was just beautiful, as objectively as I can say it. And she was offered an Oprah-style program in Chicago, or go to seminary.
And they both picked seminary and they met each other. No matter how crazy it was, they had three children. God called me to preach at 14. My little brother, when people bring up my little brother, I always tell them, I have no idea how I got in the same family with that man. He is one of the godliest businessmen. Some people don't even know he's in business. He does so much ministry. So he's not a preacher. He would not want to do this. But God has used him to reach thousands and thousands of people. My sister climbs mountains to raise money for human trafficking and happens to be married to Billy Graham's PR guy for 30 years. So you say, well, what is all that? That is the hand of God directing a family. And then I look at my own three daughters that are married to extraordinary men that I believe have intention to raise godly children and push it forward. You say, well, you just got lucky. There's no such thing. So what is your plan? Because your plan has to start with, as a woman or as a man, at some point, whether you're married or not, single, just a kid, you have to make a decision. I choose, the old song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's that simple. I am personally making a decision to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. You show me a young man who makes that decision, then he will pray to God to send him a woman who is making the same decision. And they're not looking for each other primarily. They're chasing Jesus and run into each other on the way and look over and go, wow, you're chasing Jesus. Yeah. You chasing Jesus? Yeah. You're pretty cute. Yeah. I think I love you. I think I love you. But you're not going to be my life. You're just going to be my wife, my husband, and we're going to chase Jesus until one of us dies, but he's going to be our goal. And if we are blessed with children, we're going to teach them to chase Jesus. You say, well, nobody's doing that anymore. Why not? Why aren't you doing that? You say, well, it's too late for me. My kids are grown. They have no interest. You got grandkids. I jokingly tell everybody that, you know, a couple of my grandkids live in Mississippi, and when I go over there or get them in the car here, I turn on classical music so they'll know what it is. Like, this is a violin, you know, this is an oboe, you know, because a lot of country music over there. Things like the rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. I'm trying to teach them English. So you say, well, I don't see how that can happen. You have no plan. What's your plan? Get a plan. For yourself, for your marriage, for your children, for your grandchildren. We sing a song around here that talks about for your children, your children's children, your children's children's children. I don't even know what the man's name is, but six generations back, somebody put it in gear and followed Jesus, and the dominoes started dropping, and they're still dropping. Go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew 4:18 says this, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, if you read the scriptures, Jesus picked 12 to follow him. Judas, he knew, would betray him, burned a pick, so we're down to 11. Out of the 11, here's a couple of brothers. What in the world? Dude, give another family a chance. Brothers. So think about your family. You say, well, God's working in my life. There's a good chance God wants to work in your family's life. Yes, he could save you, and they all say no. There's a young woman in our church, raised up in New York area, Jewish family. She got saved. The other day in a men's gathering, her dad was in town. He got saved. She's a triplet. One of her sisters is curious. You say, well, what's going on? God's at work. He saves individuals, but he saves families. He uses families. This whole thing about church is about family. We are his children. So you get Peter and Andrew. Boom, they both follow. Go to Mark 10. Go down to verse 35.
Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." So two more sets of brothers. So now out of the 11, two sets of brothers. So you say, well, God's going to use somebody else. Start in your own house with your own family. You say, but they have no interest. Pray for them. Stick with them. Don't jump over them. He said to them, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." They're not twins. One of them's older, probably put the other one up to it, because my brother got in a lot of trouble because of me. But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They said to him, "We're able." "Yep, we're in." Had no idea what they're saying. So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Little family dynamics. We got two sets of brothers. So do you have a plan to change the world? Do you, as a couple, if you're married, have a plan to change the world? Do you, as a family, have a plan to change the world? My ultimate goal is to take the planet. Now, whether this comes from my father or my father, I believe that we can take the planet, because he said to take the planet. Instill that in your children. Give them a vision. It's not something I made up. It's in the book. Go into all the world. Okay, well, let's go into all the world. Well, how do we do that? I don't know. Technology shows up and now we can. And then you say, well, somebody else is going to figure that out. I am somebody else. You say, well, I don't think that's possible. I don't care if you think it's possible or not. I'm going to try, because I'm going to have to answer to him one day for what he put in my head and heart that was possible. So stop thinking about who you're not. Stop thinking about where you come from, what you don't know, what you don't have. When God himself moves into your physical body, Jesus moves in, the Holy Spirit fills you from the inside out, what is not possible? Ask him what he wants to do with you, with your marriage, with your family. Maybe everybody's heard this story. I didn't hear it till this week. Some golfer, a Saudi prince, invited him to come to Saudi Arabia, I guess it was, and give him golf lessons. Sent a plane for him, fed him food, took care of him. And before the golfer left, the Saudi prince said, "Is there something I can do for you?" And he says, no, you've been very kind. You sent a plane. I'm just glad to help." And he says, no, what is it you like?" He says, "Well, I collect golf clubs." And the prince said, "Okay." Then nothing happened. He left, nothing happened. Then a package came from Saudi Arabia to this golfer, and he thought, oh, it might be a diamond-encrusted putter, something big fancy. He opened it, and it was a deed to a 500-acre golf course. He thought he meant he collected golf clubs. So be careful when you go in before an almighty God and ask for something. You say, well, I just meant this. Why don't you take a shot at this? Because what can he not do? And then you go to Matthew 13:55, and what was said about Jesus, is this not the carpenter's son? And the answer is no. The carpenter raised him, but his father is God. Is not his mother called Mary? Yes. And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Very fascinating to me that one of his brothers was named Judas, not the one that betrayed him. But then you look in the scriptures and what happens. Jesus' brothers, including James and Jude, initially doubted, but later became leaders in the early church. So even being raised in the house with Jesus, God in the flesh, didn't believe it, but later believed. Don't rule out people who in your family who don't believe, believing at some point later. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Keep loving them. You say, but they don't get it. Let God do his thing. But as I said earlier in the service to a gentleman, become irresistible. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works, the change God's made in your life, and glorify your Father. They go, okay, there's no explanation for this. I got a room full of people. There's no explanation that they're clean, they're sober, their lives have changed, their children are coming around, they're changing their world. Then you look at Mary, Martha, Lazarus, two brothers and a sister. friends with Jesus. Look at the impact they had and he had on them. Timothy and his mother and grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the impact that family had. But a family unit, a grandmother. You say, well, I want to change the world. I want in on this. All right, let's go. How do I get in on it? You got to get in the family. No one has ever been born again. It's not possible. You're born, and that's how you get in the earthly family you're in. And then you're born again, and that's how you get into his family. So you got to be born again. Have you been born again? You say no. Then get born again. How do I get born again? He plants a seed in your heart. You respond to it by faith, and you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead to pay for my sin, offer me eternal life. I accept, move in, change me, save me. I'm yours. There you go. So that's an event. That's something that happens in a moment. But what happens when you are born again is you have immediate family. This bunch of people in this room, these are not random people. These are my immediate spiritual family. Yes, I have a brother, a sister, my mom and dad in heaven, all the people, pastors for generations behind me. But you people are my immediate family. And you are each other's immediate family. And what's so crazy is people come into a gathering of a church and they come from dysfunctional families where their family members don't like each other, don't speak to each other, won't even spend Christmas together. You know, political things blow the whole family up. So you come in here all upset about that, and then you don't care about each other. So you're doing the same thing with your spiritual immediate family you're doing with your other immediate family. Don't treat each other the way your family is treating you and you're treating them. This is your forever family. And what you did not get in a dysfunctional family where things were crazy maybe, you walk in here and go, well, these people are nuts too. Yeah, but we all got something in common. When Jesus taught us to pray, what are the first two words out of his mouth? Our Father, not my Father. He's not my dad, he's our Father. So you can't even pray the Lord's Prayer without saying out loud, I'm a part of a family with the same dad. And then people say, well, I don't like, you know, she wears fancy shoes and he's Mexican and I don't like black people and I don't like white people. And my gosh, people, get over yourselves. You think that's going to matter in heaven? I have never, in sharing the gospel, had anyone ever say, well, if you can prove to me he's black, I'll follow him. Turns out nobody cares what color Jesus is. They just know they need Jesus. And I can assure you, he wasn't white. So if you didn't like the family you came from because it was screwed up, then look around the room. Here's your family. What are you going to do with it? We got everything from homeless people, drug addicts. We got everybody. Everybody. And we have people come in here and go, well, I don't want to be with everybody. Okay. No one's holding a gun to your head. There's plenty of places you can go where they look just like you and everybody's just as mean as you are. Why don't you look around and say, well, Lord, I didn't have a great family. Teach me what one is with your family and see what happens. And then if you didn't have a great family, you might meet somebody here who's doing better as a family, and they figured some things out, and they can help you be a better dad, be a better mom, be a better wife, be a better husband, grow up, teach you how to lead your children.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So you say, well, I want some of that. Let me read you some verses. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You do that, instant family, immediate family. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Describing us as children, which means we are brothers and sisters. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And then 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. He offers faith, forgiveness, future, a forever family that can begin right now, immediate family.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.